Thank you, music team. So today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13. So it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Through this special revelation, we learn more about you. May we seek your guidance and how we may live our lives every day through actions and words. We want to pray for those brothers and sisters in the prayer booklet. That is Karen, Jax, Sandy, Rosanna, Mitchell, Winnia, Stephanie, Megan, Gary, Ray, Monique, Abraham, Nathaniel, Tracy, Helena, and Davin. As well, we want to uphold Candy and Kevin Yip's family, as Kevin's mother has passed away last week. And may you be with their family and allow this opportunity to allow their family to come together and grow closer to you. I pray all this in your name. Amen. Today we're blessed to hear from a guest speaker. He visits us from his home church at Pacific Grace Mandarin Church. Today's message is titled, "He Knows All Things About You." Please give a warm welcome to Reverend Leo Chia.
Good morning, everyone. It's such a privilege and pleasure for me to come here again. I remember I came here last year, and because English is not my mother tongue, so I usually rehearse my preaching in front of my daughter and ask her to grade me. And last time, she was gracious enough to give me 86, but this time it's bad. She gave me only 70. So, yeah, it's gotten worse. Assuming one day you were at the mall with your friend, your best friend. As you were walking, window shopping, and then out from nowhere, the loudspeaker of the mall, they make an announcement. They say, "In the next 5 minutes, if you can go to the storefront of this certain store, be the first 50 person to get there, you get a special gift." So you thought, wow, this is great. So you told your friend, "Let's run and be the first to get there." So you started running, but then after a while, you sensed that your friend wasn't beside you. So you stop and then you turn around. Sure enough, your friend wasn't with you. And then you turn around and then you saw that your friend was way behind you, walking in a very slow pace. So you yell to him. You said, "Hey, let's hurry. Quick. What happened to you? Why are you so slow? Come on, you're slow as a snail." Well, if I ask you, what is a snail pace? How fast or slow is a snail? What is the speed? No Google, please. How slow is a snail? Just now, as I was sitting there, I have a chance to chat with your uncle Charles, and then he told me, "Oh, his son has grown up to be the drummer, and then daughter has grown up too." I said, "Oh, I'm so jealous because my daughter is still 10 years old, and I still to struggle, right? He's already off the hook." So and then he said, "Oh, don't worry, time flies in the blink of an eye." Okay. Well, Charles, what is in the blink of an eye? In the blink of an eye, is it fast or slow? Fast, of course, but how fast? Anybody knows? Do you know what is the speed of a snail's pace? Do you know how fast is a blink of an eye? Of course you don't know. But let me tell you the answer, because I know. I check it up. You know, the speed of a snail, depending on what species, okay, on average, is about 17.7 feet per hour. Okay, so what it means is this. Assuming that the length of this sanctuary from the door to the pulpit is, let's say, 150 feet, maybe less than that. Let's say 150 feet. And the snail started to crawl or walk towards me right now, it will take the snail 8.5 hours to reach me. Okay? 8.5 hours, I will be long gone. Okay. And how fast is a blink of an eye? Okay, the blink of an eye on average is 60 milliseconds. That is 0.06 seconds. So, why don't you try something? Turn to the person beside you and start blinking your eyes. And in 1 minute, do you know that you would have blinked 1,000 times? That's how fast it is. Your eyes will be sore by the time I finish my sermon. Now, you know the speed of the snail. You know how slow is a snail's pace is. And you know how fast the eyes blink. But before I told you the answer, you did not know them, right? Actually, if you think about it, the world is full of things that we do not know. The world is full of questions that we do not know the answers to. And even me, I have to look up Google to find out the answer. It could be wrong. But there's one, only one, who knows all things. That is God. He knows everything. He knows that the snail's pace is 17.7 feet per hour. He knows that it takes a snail 8.5 hours to walk from that door to the pulpit. He knows that the blink of an eye is 60 milliseconds. He knows that it takes us 1,000 times to blink in 1 minute. God knows all this because he knows all things. We call this omniscient. He knows that the earth is rotating at a speed of 0.5 kilometers per hour, per second, sorry. He knows that the earth is rotating around the sun at a speed of 30 kilometers per hour. He knows why the salmon, fishes, they have to go out to the ocean and come back and know the way to the ocean and know the way back. He knows why the Canadian geese, when they know how to escape the winters, when to start and when to come back. There's nothing that he doesn't know. And today, I want you to understand something. God's knowledge is very special. And then I want to show you what this special knowledge of God means to you and me, how it can be applied to our life. Now, let me explain to you how special God's knowledge is. You probably know about this already, but let me summarize it for you. Three things. First, his knowledge is huge, immense, great. He knows all things. You know, astronomers estimate that the observable universe has more than 100 billion galaxies. And our own galaxy, the Milky Way, is home to around 300 billion stars. And so astronomers put current estimate of the total stars, planets, population at roughly 70 billion trillion. Those numbers doesn't mean anything to me because I can only count to like 6 digits. Anything beyond that is beyond me. But that's huge, right? But do you know that God knows every one of them? And He even has a name for each one of them. So, does it make sense? Well, it does make sense. Let me tell you. The Bible actually said that. He knows all of them and he names all of them. If you can turn to the Bible or use your iPhone or whatever, Psalm 147, verse 4. Look at that verse. Psalm 147, verse 4. Psalm 147, verse 4. He said, He determines the number of the stars and call them each by name. So what this means is that God knows all the stars in the universe. At least 70 billion trillion of them. And he named each one of them. He has a name for each one of them. You know, I grew up in a big family with 8 brothers and sisters. And my immediate and extended family now runs to about 30 plus people. But as of now, to be honest with you, I'm still having trouble remembering the names of all of them, especially those the in-law, the husband of my nephew and my nieces. I still having trouble remembering their names. Just 30 plus people. But you know what? God knows the name of all the stars, at least 70 billion trillion of them. That's how huge and immense and great the knowledge of God is. So his knowledge is huge, immense. But not only that, his knowledge is huge and great and immense, there is another second special thing about his knowledge. His knowledge is also very, how would I say that, minute, detailed. It's very detailed to the point that things that we don't notice, he noticed them as well. And not only that, he paid attention to them. He also cares for them because he knows them. How do we know that? The Bible is full of them. But let me give you a passage. In Job 38:25-27. In the book of Job. Chapter 38. 25-27, verses 25-27. It's a passage that I like very much. He said, Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? You know, I do not enjoy taking care of my lawn at all. To be honest with you, it's hard work. You have to aerate it, you have to fertilize it to make it healthy so that the weed will not grow. But as you make your lawn healthy, the grass will grow faster. That means you have to mow it every week. And now with the infestation of the European beetles, caring for lawn is even more difficult and at times discouraging and frustrating. And you may say, well, Pastor Leo, why don't you just ignore it? Well, I try. But the problem is my neighbors. They keep their lawn in tip-top shape. I have to keep mine in the same condition, good shape as well. Lest my neighbor will come to me and telling me that, something wrong with your lawn. They say, who would do that? Actually, one of them actually did a few years back. A doctor that I knew lived in my neighborhood. Talked to her a few times. And one day, that year, my lawn was very bad. And I decided to, well, I finally have to get rid of the weed. So I was working outside. And then she was walking her dog. And then she said, oh, hi. Oh, yeah, doing your lawn work, yeah? Oh, yeah, I almost helped you with clearing your weeds the other day when I was walking the dog. See, what was she trying to tell me? Okay. So, you know, the reason why I pay attention to my lawn is because someone else cares, not because I care. And to be honest, if I'm the only person in the neighborhood, I could care less about my lawn. But you know what? God cares about the grass in a place where nobody lives there. In a place where no one cares about how the lawn will look, God bring forth water to make it grow, the Bible says, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass. So in a place no one cares, God knows and he cares. In a place, in a situation where nobody cares, God knows and he cares. So you see, God's knowledge is vast and immense. But at the same time, his knowledge is also very detailed. Today, as you leave this place, and as you walk on the sidewalk, take some time to appreciate the things around you. You may see some insects. Think about, do you know what is in their mind? Of course you do not know. But God knows. God knows where they are going, and God knows where they are going to end up in, and God knows what they want. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, 29, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father." You know, a sparrow is a very insignificant animal in those days, to the point that it's not even worth a penny. A penny is the smallest amount. It's worth that much. But yet God cares about them and would not allow them to fall on the ground if it's not his will. So this is what it means. If you go out today, if you see a dead sparrow on the ground today, God knows him and God allows him to fall on that ground. Otherwise, if you see sparrows flying around, God will be protecting them. Who cares about sparrows? God cares. He takes care of them. So God's knowledge is vast, immense. It's also very detailed. Now, there's a third thing special about God's knowledge. And that is, his knowledge is also very personal. Personal. He knows everything about you. He knows about your situation, your circumstance. He knows your mind. He knows your thought. He knows your feeling. He knows your struggle. He knows your happiness. He knows your sadness. He knows your joy, your grief, everything about you, and everything in you, he knows. You know, Sunday is usually the only day I wear a suit. I'm one of those pastors that hate suits. I don't know who created it and why we have to do it. But Sunday is the only time I will make my effort to wear it. And I never know which suit I'm going to wear until the morning, because it's my wife who chose it for me the night before. But you know what? God knows all this before I do. He knows which one I'll be wearing this morning, because he already knows which one my wife is going to choose for me before even my wife knows before she went into the closet. And likewise, God knows what you will wear today before you even knew it. He knows what is in your mind right now. He knows what is in the mind of the person sitting right beside you right now. That's how personal it is. God knows if you're tired or not. God knows if you have been paying attention to my preaching so far. God knows what you were thinking of doing after the service today. Ooh, great things coming, right? He knows what you will do this afternoon. Probably take a rest at home, watch a TV show, go to the mall, do some grocery, go to work. I don't know who go to work on Sunday. Visit your friends, go exercising, or maybe no plan at all. Or maybe you don't even know what you are going to do after the service. But God already knows. God knows what will make you cry. what will make you laugh. He knows what will stress you, what will upset you, what will scare you. He knows your strength and he knows your weaknesses. He knows how you will react when you get a job. He knows how you will feel when you have an argument with your parents. He knows how you will react when your prayer is not answered or is answered. God knows all these things about your personal life. You know, in Matthew 10, 30, chapter 10, verse 30, immediately after the sparrow passage, it said, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Okay, let me ask you, who would count how many hairs they have? Nobody would do that, right? Have you ever wondered how many hairs you had? Do you know the answer? No, of course you don't. Even if you want to know, it's too challenging to count. And you do not want other people to know how many hairs you have either, right? It's because it's too personal. But you know what? God knows how many hairs you have. Because he counted it. It's true. Don't ask me when. He counted it. Because even the very hairs of your heads are all numbered. He knows every string of your hair. You know, this hair is going to die soon. It's going to fall off. So, hey, this hair is good. That's how personal the knowledge of God is. Okay, all right. Now, I think I have convinced you that God's knowledge is very special, right? Very huge. He knows all things. He's very detailed. He knows the minute things. And it's also very personal. Everything about you, he knows. But what do all this mean? Well, what it means is this. He knows all things about you. He knows all the details in your life. And he knows you personally. Therefore, he will not allow you to be in a situation or circumstance that you cannot handle. Right? If something happened, it happened with his knowledge. And if he allows it to happen, that means he knows you can handle it. If he knows that you cannot handle it, he will not let you let it happen. This is exactly what we read with today's scripture. In 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the NIV version says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide you a way out so that you can stand up against it. You stand up under it. So what this passage is saying is this. God will not allow you to be in a situation or circumstance that you cannot handle or overcome. If there is a situation or circumstance that is beyond your ability to handle, he will not throw you in there to let you fail. Right? So you may be having a challenging time with your schooling right now. I see a lot of young people probably still going to school. You have to do a project. Project is difficult. Classmate not helping. You feel helpless and angry. Well, you feel like you want to give up, explode. But let me assure you, God knows all these things that have happened to you. And if he did not take it away, it simply means this. He knows that you can overcome it. And you will benefit from the process of dealing with it. If it is beyond your ability to deal with it, he will never let that happen. Okay. I also see quite a few young couples here, right? You have kids too. You may be having a difficult time with your marriage. Your spouse, for some reason, is no longer as understanding and gentle as before. You feel disappointed with your marriage. If that is the case, let me encourage you. If God hadn't known that you can handle it, he would not have let you marry your current spouse. Does that make sense? Since you are now together, What that means is that God knows you can work it out. Nothing is too difficult for you to handle. Now, I see a lot of singles too. Being singles can sometimes be very stressful, you know? Peer pressure, parental spread pressure. Let me encourage you this way. If God does not think that you can live a single life, He will not let you live a single life. If you're still single, that means God thinks that He's okay. Because He knows. Many of you probably looking for a job. You have been searching for a job for a long time. Still nothing. Vancouver is tough. You pray and others pray for you as well. It has been a long time. You do not know what to do. But let me assure you, your job will come at the right moment because He knows what is best for you. The opportunity has not arrived yet because He knows that you can wait a little bit. Maybe you do not like your job. There's this very difficult person that you have to work with every day and you're sick of it. You thought of quitting or you thought of arguing with him, but you want to know what God's will says. You pray, but there's no answer. So what should you do? I said, trust God. Because He knows all things. If He allows you to remain in that situation, it's because He knows that you can handle it. Maybe you have an exam coming this week. The study is taking its toll. And then you still have to do the music worship. It's tough. And you have so many other things that demand your time and your attention. You just felt like giving up. My encouragement to you, my brothers and sisters, is if God allows this to happen, He knows you can do it. Well, in short, God will not allow you to be in a situation that you cannot handle. He will not give you a job that you cannot handle. He will not allow you to face a burden that you cannot bear. He will not allow you to have a difficult colleague that you cannot interact with. He will not give you a spouse who you cannot deal with. In the events that you cannot handle it, He will open a way for you. You know, my daughter gave me a score of 70. I don't know why daughter has always to be so harsh to the dad. But since God allowed this to happen, I truly believe that God knows that I can handle it. And I did. He knows your tomorrow, your future. He promised you that you'll be okay. It's all right. You'll be okay. He does not make mistakes. And He will not allow you to face something that you cannot handle. I heard this story from my preaching professor one time in his class. He talks about a situation that happened to him, kind of funny. When he first graduated from seminary and accepted a position in a church that the pastor has just left in a small town. The church has about 500 people. It was founded by the pastor that left. The pastor was a very capable pastor. He grew the church from 80 people to 500 people and now has accepted another position in another church in another town with several thousand people. So he came and took this job. This was what he said. He said, it was a couple of years after I started pastoring when it hit me. At first, there was a lot of assignment, a lot of support, a lot of, oh, we are so glad you are here. And for the first year and a half, the church grew. But somewhere between a year and a half and 2 years, the excitement wore off. By then, I had made some mistakes. And some of the people figured out that I was not what they thought or hoped I would be. Some expressed dissatisfaction. Attendance started to go down and I began to hear complaints or criticism filtering back to me. About that time, I began to sense I was being compared to the former pastors. He's a prince of a fella, a great guy. He had been the first pastor he had come when the church had 80, and he had taken the church to about 500. And then God had called him to a church of several thousands, where he's still pastoring right now. They loved their ex-pastors. They cried when he left. And when I came after a couple of years, I began to sense I was being compared to him. Oh, when he was here, for Vacation Bible School, we had a parade and a float through downtown. I was lucky to get the two-line item buried in the church page. When he was here, our church had the highest percentage of adults enrolled in Bible Memory Associations. We were written up in the National Magazine when he was here. The man's ghost was everywhere. About that time, I was feeling intimidated and inadequate. At that time, we had our staff, an intern. His name was Greg, and he had grown up in the church, and so he knew things that I do not know. He knew the people before I knew them. He heard things that I didn't hear. One day, as we were sitting around in our staff meeting, Greg turned to me. He said, "Hi, Pastor. I hear some of the people are talking about inviting our ex-pastor to come back and start up another church right beside us. And I was wondering how you would respond to that." Let me ask you, if it was you, if it were you, what would you do? My professor said, this was what went through his mind as he pondered about the possibility. He said, "It hits me. If he came back and did that, it would only be because God knew something about me that I didn't yet know about myself. If God thought he could come back in and I would not be crushed or devastated, I was honored God has such an opinion of me." And do you know what happened next? The ex-pastor never came back. And at that point, my professor said with a big grin on his face, he said, "God must have known that I couldn't handle it." So you see, my friends, brothers and sisters, God is faithful. God will not put you in a situation that is more than you can handle. God, who knows you, will not give you a schedule of studies and work and family that is more than you can manage. He won't do it. He's not that kind of God. God will not give you too much to do or too little time to do it. They can all fit with joy and with strength. For God only brings what he knows is possible. As you look at your life, is there tension? Is there frustration? Is there difficulty? Do you wonder whether the future will be good? Let me tell you, God knows you, and he knows the future. And God has promised that you will triumph. God is faithful in his omniscience, which is without error. He only brings what he knows you can handle. So be joyful in that confidence. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we want to thank you for not only knowing us, but also caring for us. And I want to ask for your cares and love upon each and every one here today. No matter what they are going through right now, you assure them that they are in good hands. Everything will be all right. No matter how tough and difficult it seems right now, but we rest in peace because we know that you know all things and you will not allow us to be in the situations that you know that we cannot handle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.